When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally.
He is
the Matt Williamson. And, well, anything happened today, Matt?
Yeah, I was like, man, what are we going to talk about? It's going to be a slow show. Spend an hour on the Keenan Allen trade, maybe. Chat about some stuff going on. No, the league is flying around. The Steelers are flying around still. And in case you live under a rock, Kenny Pickett is now a Philadelphia Eagle.
Well, reportedly. This
reportedly.
Nothing official yet, but he has reportedly been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a swap. The Steelers get the Eagles' third-round draft pick, which would be pick 98. Mm-hmm. The Eagles get pick 120 from the Steelers, which was the second of their two fourth-round picks.
Gotcha.
And the Steelers also get a pair of 2025 seventh-round draft picks. And I've gotten a lot of what happened? How did this?
Oh, of course, right.
So
I didn't see this coming. You know, right.
Essentially, when the Steelers initially made the inquiries about Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
they had told Kenny Pickett all along that they were going to add competition for him at quarterback.
And before Wilson, they had one quarterback under contract, yeah. And now they have one quarterback under contract.
Wilson. Was not necessarily the kind of competition that Pickett thought it was going to be. I think he thought mm-hmm. it was going to be Mason Rudolph or, you know, one of those guys, Ryan Tannehill.
Not a future Hall of Famer type guy.
And this according to Tom Pelissero, I have no reason to doubt this. I've mm-hmm. heard similar things that when the Steelers when they signed Russell Wilson, they made Russell Wilson the promise that he would get first reps.
Okay.
The first reps.
Didn't say you're the starter,
OTAs,
but
yeah.
Okay.
It was still going to be a competition.
Yes, okay.
But in a sense, Kenny Pickett had been officially demoted. Like if he
would open the depth chart at two.
At two.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he said, you know what, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And so they said, okay, we'll see what we can do to get you out of here.
Well, he's going to start at two in Philly.
But it's a different. So here, people might look at that and say, "Well, what's the difference? He had more of a chance to win this job than he did in Philly."
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing: when you've been the starter,
there is
in a town.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
And in that locker room, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden you get demoted. They bring in somebody else and they put them over top of you. Now that really is a demotion.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he's a better player. He was a better prospect. He was draft higher than Howell with the Commanders and Ritter with the Falcons, but the same thing kind of just happened to them yesterday. You know, like you were the hope, you were on the billboard, you were the young guy, and now clearly you're being replaced or about to be in Washington's case. So it's probably better for you and us that you're not here. You know, that's the impression I got with those two deals. And that whole draft class is looking a little shabby. That one has nothing to do with the other, but I guess there is a kind of a different feel of go be a two behind Geno Smith or Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts or whatever.
Yeah, you weren't drafted as a number one pick in Philadelphia.
Right.
If you're Kenny Pickett, so you know you're not going to be getting questions every day
all
from the media.
Time.
Like, hey, you know, how's it feel to be demoted? Or the guys look at you differently in the locker room.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing.
That makes sense.
So I get it.
I get that part. I do. He got traded for, reportedly, similar amount of what Howell got. I thought you could probably get more, but who's to say? I mean, kind of like the Deontay thing, though. Like, there has to be other shoes dropping. Yeah, I mean, like, right now they have one quarterback and two receivers. You know, like, there has to be something, not necessarily big, but something substantial.
Well, they have more than two receivers.
They do.
They only have one quarterback, but mm-hmm. they've got several wide receivers on the roster. Two who have real NFL experience.
Yeah, two that are going to make the team next year. You know, side note, we have so much else to talk about, but it is interesting to me that they have Denzel Mims. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that, too, before we got to, you know, how lean they are at receiver right now. But there are moves on the horizon. I don't know what they are. I mean, could it be Stephon Diggs or Mike Williams or Justin Fields or Ryan Tannehill or something? But there's a plan in place. It's just we don't know the answer to it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe over the next 2 hours we will.
The Cowboys did just today released
Michael Gallup.
Like, okay, that
would be part of the mix.
It's a starting caliber receiver.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad pickup at all. But a lot of receivers got picked up in the last couple of days, too. I mean, Samuel went to Buffalo. Keep hearing about Boyd. I'm not super excited about that. You know, Keenan Allen gets traded. You know, so things are happening quick. I mean, the league does not slow down for you.
No, and that's all part of the process.
Yeah.
There'll be more trades that are made around the league. And
a lot more.
Teams will move guys from here to there and there to here, and that's just the reality of it. Immediately when this, that's Kenny Pickett. He was a flop. He was this. He did that. Mm-hmm. You got 2 years starting quarterback out of Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
You then got a return of draft picks. Now they weren't what you spent on him.
No, right.
But it's not like he's not Jermaine Stevens.
Mm.
You know who's out of the league in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know that Kenny's a bad player. Like, Jermaine Stevens was a bad player. Yeah. From what
Huey Richardson was a bad player.
Yeah. I mean, there's many first-round busts that are out of the league a year or two after they're in there. I think Kenny will last in this league for 10 more years.
Yeah. I mean immediately saw, this just goes to show the Steelers reached for him in the draft. No, he went where he was supposed to go.
No, I don't think that's the issue at all.
That's rewriting history.
I was going to say, I don't even think that's the topic to even discuss.
I can remember when we did
that on Twitter, too.
When we did mock drafts that year,
mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of times he didn't make it to us at 20.
At 20, right. Or went right in that neighborhood. You know, I mean, I remember even that year, and this isn't revisionist history. You could probably find it. We did our top 20 players like we do every year. We'll do the same thing this year. He was 21st for me. You know, I remember Dax Hill was 20 and he was 21. I'm like, who would I take at 20? And so he was as close as you could get, even in my mind, you know. So that's not a reach. I mean, is it a great pick? No. I mean, any first-round pick that's not a foundational player for you for at least their whole, you know, rookie contract isn't what you planned when you took them. But cutting ties with them to me is not the end of the world.
No.
You know, I mean, they're going to add another quarterback here soon, and I bet you draft one, too.
It does show that the Steelers are 100% in on Russell Wilson.
Yes. I mean, he's going to be the starter this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty
clear.
And
chances were, when they signed him, he was probably – like, I did a show with Mark Madden on Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, whatever day it was. And he asked me, you know, is this still a competition? I'm like, that's the plan was that this was going to be a competition. Yes.
Yes.
But if I had to put money down on who the starter is, my money would be on Russell Wilson. He's the more established quarterback.
I would have phrased it the exact same way. And really, since Wilson's been added, when we're talking about the Steelers next year, we're talking about a Wilson-Smith combination in terms of how they fit more so than a Pickett-Smith combination. I do think if by chance it was a tie or if Kenny was the better player between now and opening day, he would have got the nod.
Yeah.
But that's probably asking a lot. I mean, he's thrown 13 touchdowns in his career. Wilson does that in 2 months.
I found it was interesting today when we met with Russell Wilson for the first time. He talked to the media today.
Yeah. I thought that's what we'd be talking about all day.
Yeah.
The stuff at the
And he talked about how during this whole process, last weekend, before he ever even spoke to the Steelers, he spent an hour in a FaceTime call with Cam Hayward.
Ah, okay.
And then, you know, he spent time talking to Minkah Fitzpatrick. He spent time talking to T.J. Watt.
Mm.
You know, I think the veterans on this team
are embracing the Wilson thing.
We're all in on, hey, this guy makes us a better football team.
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that leads to Kenny, how he opened the show, the Ritter-Howe conversation, too, of, okay, Wilson sure seems to be doing all the right things at his new place. I mean, it didn't seem like he did that when he got acquired by Denver. He kind of came in and I got the feeling, like, roll out the red carpet for me, I'm here. Where Wilson, it seems like, with the Steelers, is doing all the right things, saying all the right things, has the right attitude, very leader-like, professional, you know, and realizes he probably, his ego got knocked down a peg from 2 years ago.
Well, who were the stars in Denver?
Well, they wanted him to be the guy. You're right, exactly. That's part of the reason they traded for him. We need a face of the organization. Right.
And Russell Wilson will be a face of the organization, but he's not going to be the face of the organization.
I mean, even Ben in his prime wasn't always the face of the organization. I mean, it's a
more of a team cog environment. Yeah.
I mean, every team, I'm not sure people realize that as much. Every team starting with ownership, as you would imagine, are all very different. They're all part of the same 32, but IBM and Apple don't operate the same way. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just all different corporations too, you know, and I think the Steelers have shown that the team is greater than one player too.
Yeah. Patrick Queen talked about that as well. He's like, look, I'm coming in here. I'm going to be a leader. I don't have to be the leader.
100%. 100%.
You know, because of guys like Minka Fitzpatrick and T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, and you got these established stars who...
have been doing it a long time and know how things work around here. Right. Not that Kenny didn't. I mean, I thought Kenny had great leadership traits, but his play on the field wasn't great this past year, and... maybe you're looking for a different style of quarterback too. I mean, is the next acquisition going to be someone that plays more like Wilson? I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens next, more than anything. But I was shocked when this came across my phone. I really was.
I was going to bring up the subject of Howell and
Ridder. Yeah.
Ridder being traded. Because that just happened yesterday, and like, wow, this draft class, from 2022 is getting moved here. Would you consider moving Kenny Pickett if you think Wilson's the guy
in a similar situation?
And lo and behold, that's what happened.
Happened a couple hours later. Right? Yeah, it is very interesting, and they are sort of similar boats. I mean, Ridder and Howell probably weren't expected to be starters when they were drafted.
They weren't going to be given an opportunity.
No, the writing's on the wall for that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cousins versus Ridder thing is different than Wilson versus Pickett.
Yeah.
But it's in the same ballpark. I mean, their age and their experience.
Yeah, but the thing with Wilson as opposed to Cousins is Cousins signed a long-term contract.
No, yeah.
Wilson signed a one-year
deal. I mean, there's nothing resembling competition.
He signed a one-year deal here.
And like, Washington's going to use a second overall pick on a guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's clearly going to get every benefit of the doubt. Howell's is kind of in the way. And I think they signed somebody, too. I can't remember who else they have. I think they signed somebody in free agency that's a name. I don't remember who, but he would have been third.
Yeah. So the Kenny Pickett era.
This is a trend in the league, I guess, is a way of putting it.
Is done.
Right.
I'll say this. So when you look at how these kind of things happen, for example, the Deontay Johnson trade, 2009. After the 2009 season, Santonio Holmes is coming off a 1,200-yard year. All the Steelers had on their roster at wide receiver was an aging Hines Ward and Mike Wallace.
Wow. Okay.
That's really what they had. So in the offseason, they go out, they sign Antoine Randall.
Gotcha. Okay.
They bring him back.
Okay.
And then they make the deal. They send Santonio Holmes to the Jets for a fifth-round pick.
I remember just as a fan, I'm like, that's all you could get for such a great player, Super MVP? And like,
yeah. They then turn around and trade that fifth-round pick that they got from the Jets to Arizona for Bryant McFadden and Arizona's sixth-round pick.
Okay.
Bryant McFadden becomes a starting cornerback that year for them. That sixth-round pick, they turned into Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I knew somehow that ended up being Antonio Brown.
Then they took Emmanuel Sanders in the third round that year, Antonio Brown in the sixth, and those two guys became...
along with Wallace, were the three core young guys for a long time.
And if you looked at that 2009 season...
you can revamp an entire position group in an offseason.
Pretty quickly,
and you just showed a great example of how.
The 2009 season, while Holmes had a 1,200-yard year, Ward just topped 1,000 yards. He had like 90-plus catches in 1,000 yards. It was his last 1,000-yard season.
Okay.
And who was the third receiver was?
Randall, probably.
Oh, no. It was Mike Wallace.
Oh, okay.
He had like 37 catches that year.
Okay. He was your over-the-top speedster.
They didn't have another receiver on their roster catch more than a pass. They had three receivers.
Really? That's like unheard of.
The other guys, there were two guys that had one catch each. But Heath Miller was available as well. Heath Miller had a big year that year catching balls.
Yeah, but, right.
But they had no receivers outside of those three that did anything.
They had two or more.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. Wow.
One or more.
So,
I was shocked. I didn't remember it that way, but I looked it up. I'm like, wow. Right. That's 2009 season, how did I not realize they had basically three receivers catch all their wide receiver catches?
That's nuts. I mean, it's a great recollection, and hopefully this goes similar, but it is a great example of you can hit on receivers in the mid to late rounds. You can go get guys, you know, I mean.
Puka Nacua.
You know? Right. Steelers have a lot of examples. You just named three of them that were mid to late round picks, not to mention all the guys on day two they've had success with. Now, I'd feel comfortable if they had Hines Ward right now.
Well, that would make things, yeah.
You know, in that mix.
But they do have a George Pickens there who's coming off a 1,000-yard season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of this is a massive show of faith in Pickens, you know, that they think he's a star.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the things to read through all this as well.
And Wilson talked today about going out to dinner with a bunch of Steeler players last night, Hayward, and even former Steeler players, James Harrison was there, Charlie Batch was there, but he also mentioned that Freiermuth was there.
Ah, okay.
So, you know.
I think it's another stroke for him, too. I mean, no one's a sleeper in fantasy, but Freiermuth's going to have a lot better year next year than last.
Yeah.
Assuming he stays healthy, I have no doubt about that. And I would even consider extending him now before you get to that point.
Yeah, because he might catch 75 passes this year.
Yeah. He could, and 12 touchdowns or something like that. I keep coming back to not the moves that were made, but the ones that are going to be made. Because there's no way they go into the draft with what they have at receiver and quarterback.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
But there's always that. I can remember when Santonio Holmes was traded. It's like, they got a fifth-round pick for Santonio Holmes. Now what?
Right. Exactly.
And then you go and you make the trade for Brian McFadden. Okay, you got yourself your starting cornerback. In this instance, by trading Deontay Johnson and getting an extra the move up with the pick and the starting cornerback, you kind of cut out the middleman.
So we haven't talked for 48 hours, but we've texted and we were talking like after the show. My take more and more on the Jackson Johnson thing is I think they love Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more than I originally thought, you know, that I've seen reports that they had a Johnson for Jackson trade in the works a year before that. They've been trying to get this guy forever. And I kind of get it. I mean, I know you have more of his background, but he's had to go through coordinator after coordinator, scheme change after scheme change, that maybe if you just give him some stability and stick him at the opposite corner of Porter, he's a better player than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think they feel like he's got more than a year or two left as a player. He can be a longer-term solution there and be a positive influence on Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
You know, again, this would give them, and again, they also signed Deshaun Elliott.
Right. I thought that's what we were talking about today, and that's third on the list or fourth on the list.
A third
right
defensive back from that 20. So potentially three of their starting defensive backs are going to be from that 2018 draft class.
Oh, I didn't put that together. Okay. We'll talk Elliott later in the show.
And they
were
seriously into drafting defensive backs that year. I think they did a ton of homework.
Okay. Who was their first-round pick that
year? Terrell Edmonds.
Oh, okay.
So they did a lot of homework that year.
These were guys they liked then, too. That makes sense. I like the Elliott signing. We'll talk about it later.
But yeah.
I do like the Elliott signing. I mean, Pickett's the news, and I was flabbergasted, but these aren't that unusual anymore in the NFL.
No, this is what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you gave up on him or no one thinks he's ever going to be any good. He may go on to have a very good career, but I think this move's probably good for him, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And, Matt, one of the things that, Russell Wilson said it, Patrick Queen said it, Deshaun Elliott said it today when we talked to them, and even when I spoke with Dante Jackson earlier this week, one of the big things that they said that made the Steelers attractive to them was Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah. So, won't reveal sources. I'm sure you've heard this 8,000 times. I've heard it 1,000 times. That he might be the coach in the league people want to play for most. I mean, like, number one. And there are a lot of instances, again, not revealing sources, but after the games, when people come up and shake Coach Tomlin's hands from the other team, a lot of them are like, hey, I'm a free agent after the year.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey.
Come get me.
Exactly. A lot. More than any of you would think, to be very honest. I mean, that is, I can tell you that with 100% certainty.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you just saw Russell Wilson in Denver clashing with Sean Payton.
Right, right.
You know, you don't often see those kind of things happen with Mike Tomlin in terms of the – I know when something happens here, it gets oh, my God, look at the drama surrounding the Steelers.
Losing
here.
The locker room.
Losing. Yeah. I've never seen him lose the locker room,
no,
first of all.
No,
it hasn't
no.
happened. And, you know, when people make light of the, oh, there's another winning season for Tomlin, yeah, that means you didn't lose the locker room.
Exactly.
Because there are plenty of years where I could think about, you know, when I think
fight
back
hard
to
at the end of the year and right. Yeah.
2013, when they were 0-4 and then they were 2-6 mm-hmm. and they finished 8-8.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are plenty of years like that where you think, okay, this could go south.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen things go south. I've seen it go the other way. You know, there were some years under Bill Cowher, I think in 97, they were like 6-3 or 7-3. And then went on a ridiculous losing streak to finish out the season.
Was it a similar season like what the Eagles just had?
Yeah.
Like, good
things,
team.
Thing
know,
just
right.
goes, they start south and you can't fix it.
And you can see it on every team, yeah. every player's body language and all the stuff that comes out after the year and go to Tampa Bay and lose in the wild card round and let's get out of here. You know, no, I hear you. I mean, and that in itself has massive value, you know, in terms of, you know, like this Pickett thing, like we compared it to Ritter and Howe, et cetera. It's not fantasy football. You know, right. I mean, there are personalities. There's managing human beings. How do they all get along? What's that quarterback meeting room going to look like? Now who are you going to insert into that meeting room? Is it going to be a second-round pick, Bo Nix or Penix or someone like that to learn from Wilson then? And hopefully he becomes a leader. Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of options, you know. But that all that stuff's being considered. And it's one of Tomlin's greatest strengths, if not his greatest strength as a coach.
Yeah. And I also think, again, I think this roster – is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people overlook that this is a good roster that if they get, we said it all last year, going into the season last year, if the Steelers get average quarterback play this year,
mm-hmm.
just average,
right,
they'll be a very good football team. They'll win 10, 11, 12 games.
Yeah. And I don't think they got average quarterback play.
No.
I mean, of the 32 teams, they were in the bottom third for sure in terms of top to bottom 17 games worth of quarterback play. So they're making changes. So it's the exact same thing. It's like, we need to have better quarterback play. I think Mr. Rooney said it, you know.
Yeah.
We need to have better quarterback play. So they're making changes. Started with coordinator. Now it's some of the pass catchers and are gone. And all the quarterbacks from last year are gone. All.
All of them.
Yeah, all gone.
I can't remember a team ever getting rid of I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure it's happened, but yeah.
Just completely cleaning out a position group like
the whole,
that.
Yeah, especially quarterback.
I mean, the Steelers
right.
did to a certain degree at linebacker last year.
Yeah, they did.
Except
basically.
Mark Robinson was brought back.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one guy.
One guy, and he was a seventh round, you know, special team or project type.
But this is, they just wiped the slate with it.
Wiped the
slate. We're starting
with,
over.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of this, again, all I can think about is the future. I mean, now they have better draft capital than they did a week ago. They have cap space and the ability to make more. They have to have more of a plan in place. But I also think they must love this draft class, period. You know, that centers, tackles, wideouts, maybe quarterbacks
to want
very
keep,
high on.
To want to keep moving up.
Right,
moving
right, right.
up, moving up.
Moving up.
Like, we'll get rid of these players to move up in this draft.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's not like it's the greatest asset in the world, but they have a ton of day three 2025 draft picks. So on draft day, might two of those turn into trade ups, you know,
in the third round and things like that, too.
You're
sitting there and you say, hey, we'd like to move up five spots to go get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we just move that one of those seventh rounders we got from
those throw-ins we got
one
there.
One of the fifth rounders we got here, you know, something like that to make that happen.
And it doesn't hurt you hardly at all for next year. So one of the best things that's happened to this organization, football-wise, in a long time, is this most recent draft class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a phenomenal class. Now, I understand they don't have the 32nd pick in the draft, the Porter pick. But they got a lot. And if they could semi-replicate that, you know, I mean, you're picking 20. There's going to be a good player at 20.
Yeah, like, we know that.
We know that. And side note, I'm sure we'll bring this up too, but we saw the Texans and the Vikings make a trade of just picks, you know, which is rare this time of year. But there's a reason behind it. But I think a huge key for the Vikings, and I'll bring this back to the Steelers in a minute, to get I think they ended up at 23 with that pick.
Yeah.
So I think whoever team number three is that they're talking about to get a quarterback told them with your first and say a top 24 or 25 pick, we can start talking about you trading up. My reasoning, and you and I have brought this up 1,000 times, this draft has 24, 25 first-round picks, you know, where most of them have 15, 16. Steelers can get one of them. You know, whatever position they so choose, they're going to get one of them. And the day two stuff is really enticing, too. I mean, so if you could end up with three or four Benton-type prospects out of this draft at various positions, the core looks a lot different, right?
Well, and immediately, I was just looking here at my social media.
I tweeted out
this from this was from the combine.
Okay.
A quote from Omar Khan: "We're excited about Kenny and excited about the impact that Arthur Smith is going to have on the offense." And some slappy on social media: "Things that don't age well for $500." Like, that's some kind of slap at me.
Right.
I was quoting the GM. That's a direct quote from the GM. That was how they felt at that time.
Yeah, I don't think he's lying. I mean, I think they were
excited about what Arthur Smith was going to mean for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I also think they might be moving him out of the way for something else.
Right.
I mean, they're going to add another quarterback soon, I would think. And I don't know, it's going to be like a Josh Dobbs. Like, I've been people throwing, well, go get Dobbs as a backup. Oh, he's a good guy. I'm like, that doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, give me Tannehill or Garoppolo or something instead of that. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go get Justin Herbert or some massive splash, but they're making room, too.
Although he might be available now. Who knows?
I know, right. Funniest thing I heard after that.
Who's he throwing the ball to this year, by the way?
I know. Good point. They kept their edge rushers, not their receivers. But after that Texans-Vikings trade I just referenced, somebody on Twitter was very funny about it and said, okay, now Minnesota's going to go get Herbert, and then the Chargers will draft McCarthy and seven other Wolverines. Harbaugh's crazy enough, maybe he would. You know, I'm not saying Harbaugh's coming to town, or Herbert's coming to town, folks, but that just cracked me up.
But they're not going, I mean, they've signed Justin Herbert. I'm just completely changing the subject.
Yeah.
They're paying Justin Herbert a bunch of money.
A ton.
With
to be an elite passer and a great player.
With no receivers and no running backs.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards.
Right. I don't even think, they have a blocking tight end. I say Everett left too.
And Will Disley.
And the O-line's so-so. Their first round pick could still be an O-lineman, you know. Yeah, it's a little nuts right now.
Like, you're paying him all that money.
And he took away his whoopee.
You might as well, if you're going to blow it up.
Blow it up, like, completely, yeah. I mean, financially, it doesn't make a ton of sense for them to do it. But, I mean, if Harbaugh's
if you're going to do what they've done, it didn't make a lot of sense to pay Herbert to begin with.
Right. I mean, their finances have been a disaster for 2 years.
They're now two or three years from
being
in position to win again.
Yeah, if you're the Vikes and, like, I can get these two picks and something else for Herbert, let's go. You know, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway. But there's a lot of strange stuff going on in the league the last couple of days, for sure.
Yeah.
People are not afraid to make moves in this league right now.
No, and I think part of it's because of a good draft.
Yeah.
And I think part of it's because the cap went up and there was more money to play with. And free agency changes the way you approach things.
Yeah.
You
can have the best free agency plan in the world. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
You know.
So you got to be able to make deals and those kind of things. But it's, you know, and change your mind on stuff.
So I think we've had this conversation, and this generation of GMs that are in the league now, I mean, of course, everyone's going to get younger, you know, than year after year, of course. But I think a lot of the guys that are in charge of building rosters now grew up playing fantasy football, grew up playing Madden, grew up with the internet,
which
people our age did not, you know, so trades are a lot easier nowadays. Like, I'll just move on. You know, the world's smaller. You know,
yeah.
I just think that's going to be commonplace in the league now.
I think so too, and I do think that some of the stuff that this is what's happened in other leagues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that the willingness to change coaches in many cases, has helped that as well. I mean, we talked about it before. What was it?
It's not necessarily good or bad.
Half the league last year changed
offensive play
callers. Yeah. So if you're
this year is almost the same.
Almost the same thing this year.
Been like 30 over a 2-year stretch. Yeah. Something crazy like that.
If you're going to do things like that.
Some of the same teams twice.
Right.
You know, like Andy Reid's back. You know,
you don't feel as married to a player because he's not necessarily as scheme specific.
Right.
You know, he may not be quite the scheme fit that he was for the old offense.
That's one of the reasons it hurt Wilson so bad was when they hired Peyton, he couldn't be any different schematically than the quarterback that he was inheriting. Like, the writing was on the wall. They weren't going to get together.
And he wasn't a fit with what they wanted with Hackett.
No, that was
They thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, did you see the stuff about him?
Is that true? He wants to be the vice president or something?
So Kennedy, who's running on whatever ticket, he has no chance to win. Let's be honest here. But he's
got a good last name.
He's got Aaron Rodgers on his short list.
And we're not here to talk politics, folks, because I know nothing, but this is hilarious.
There's nothing political about this.
Right.
He has Aaron Rodgers on his short list of potential vice president.
I mean, you watch Succession, right? I mean, is this Connor Roy?
Maybe.
Yeah, it sounds as likely, right.
Like, if you're the Jets, you're going, wait a second.
You have a job, dude.
You've got a job, and you can't be stumping in November for
I don't think you can do both. You'd have to give one up, right? I saw that, too. I'm like, this is insane. But anyway.
I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Like, has he even addressed it?
Yeah, he's talking. He's like, I'd be interested.
I'm interested. Okay.
Could you imagine that ticket?
What's the draw there?
I don't know.
Right. What if the president gets assassinated? He's got to leave the Meadowlands or whatever and go run the free world. Stop
the secret,
scheming against the Vikings.
Secret Service would go crazy at an NFL game. Mr. President, you can't go out there to the 50-yard line and do the coin flip.
Right. I would think the Jets are a little concerned. Like, whatever.
They got to do a sweep in the locker room before all the other players can come in.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. POTUS is coming through, right.
Oh, my God.
That's as ludicrous as anything we've ever heard, but he's an odd bird.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's one of my favorites. That I can't wait for A Football Life to come out or his biography after he retires and the stories come out because some of them are going to be insane.
Yeah, he's living in a commune in the mountains.
Right. Eating mushrooms all winter or whatever.
In a very dark cave.
Yeah. Strange stuff.
So, what were we talking about before that whole...
Probably Pickett or something like
that. We were talking about teams being willing to move on and fits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the Steelers sat down and looked at him, when they sat down and started talking with Arthur Smith, I think they came to the realization that, hey, Russell Wilson might actually be a pretty good fit with what Arthur wants to do.
I think that's 100% true if he's more willing and better at throwing between the numbers. That's my only sticking point. Yeah. Everything else I 100% agree with. I mean, the deep shots. And if you go back to early career Russ, which is really what you should look at, not Pro Bowl Russ or Denver Russ. I'm talking like hand the ball to Lynch, Legion of Doom, third round pick, trying to prove himself Russ. Kind of like Elway reinventing himself at the end of his career type of thing. Like, this is my best way to win. Even late career Ben, late career Manning. And Manning couldn't even throw the ball. And Peyton I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But if you go back and even look at first 5 years of Russell Wilson, he threw in the middle of the field, but it was off and off rollouts and things like that, you know? So it could be there. He's very reluctant to do it lately.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think he's a dead-on fit for what they want in terms, I don't think Smith minds that he might hold it a pulse longer, you know, to make a big play or chuck one downfield. He's not a Drew Brees paint-by-numbers do exactly as the plays drawn up Sean Payton player, but he's also not a wild man, crazy Mahomes or, coming out of Texas Tech type either. I mean, he's been around the block. He knows how the game works.
Yeah, and I think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. In fact, mm-hmm. he said he kind of does here because he's a proud guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
things didn't go well the last two seasons in Denver. Actually, he said, you know, 2 years ago in Denver, things didn't go well.
It was much worse than a year ago, just so people know.
He said he started to feel like himself again last year.
He lost a little weight. I mean, he was pudgy, like, when he got traded. Yeah. He had kind of a weird look about him, like, spending too much time on the banquet circuit or whatever. So I do think it's good for him to, you know, reinvent himself, get knocked down a peg. And, you know, there's plenty of drives where we talked about him before he was a Steeler. I saw more negative than positive before that. I mean, hey, I'm saying the same thing right now about Tyler Boyd. If they sign him tomorrow, I'm not going to like him any better, but I understand the move.
Especially given what else is out there.
Exactly, exactly.
And this is kind of the same thing. Given the other options, given all the options that they could have done at quarterback this offseason.
This is about as good as you could ask for, folks.
Unless you were going to, you know, unless you were happy with Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, or Kenny Pickett and Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is pretty clear that they are not.
Yeah. This was an upgrade over that.
Right.
And I don't, you know,
sell the farm to get in the top three.
Yeah, giving up picks to get up to the top three, that doesn't appeal to me. And giving up picks to go get Justin Fields, that didn't appeal to me.
It appeals to me more now if it's a fourth, not a two that we were originally talking.
I don't want to give that up. Not for a quarterback I'm going to owe $30 million over the next two seasons.
I hear you.
If I'm going to pay, put it this way, if I'm going to pay a quarterback $30 million.
Yeah. For 2 years.
For 2 years. I'll just wait and give it to Wilson.
Well, that could be in the cards, too.
Because if he's good, then I'll be willing to give him $30-plus million next year. If he's not good, I'll go find somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. They owe, side note, we can talk quarterbacks, I'm sure we will, but they have such little amount of money owed to people in the future. You know, that their cap freedom is as much as they wanted to be.
I don't know who next year's Kirk Cousins is.
Right, 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 right. But they could get him if they wanted him.
Maybe it will be Russell Wilson.
Maybe it will be. Maybe it will be. He's got a good chance of that. Yeah.
But if that's the case, then you can pay him.
You could. Absolutely.
If it's
not financial freedom.
If it's not the case, you go find somebody else.
Mm-hmm. They have like the least guaranteed money allotted going forward. And now less with Kenny gone.
I mean,
they opened up another $5 million or whatever.
It's just how they build their contracts.
Do you happen to know, did they add about $5 million in cap space with this move? I think that's his base. I never thought of that until just now, but I think that's about what he was making.
They
making first-round money. I mean,
they freed up some money.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, so I think it's like four or five is his.
I mean, they're on the hook for his signing bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was a four-year, $14 million contract.
It's first-round money.
Yeah, his base salary this season, it was only going to be $985.
Oh, okay.
So
this happened right before we went on the air, so I didn't even think about it, but I was thinking it'd be like four or five.
So they take a cap hit with this. They got $4.6 million in dead cap money for this.
Oh, wow, okay.
But next year, they don't have to pick up his fifth-year option.
Yeah, that's done, obviously.
Which they would have.
And
had
the Eagles won't either. I mean, I'm sure they won't.
They might.
Unless, he'd have to become the starter.
They may be trying to trade Jalen Hurts a year from now.
What's interesting to me, this is a side note, is I've been saying this on my other podcast. Nobody cares about Eagle quarterback situation here. I don't think they're happy they signed Hurts to that deal.
No,
I don't think they are either. He played last year. I mean, he's an unbelievable worker. Teammates love him. He's a limited passer, and it really showed up last year. And that's not a team to sit around and wait.
Right.
You know, he could be on the move a year from now.
Yeah. I mean, we already saw them do it with Carson Wentz.
Right. Right. You know, yeah.
They'd signed him, and 2 years later, got rid of him.
Yeah. Traded up, use a second-round pick on Hurts. Like, they may use a second-round pick on, the third-round pick on Spencer Rattler this year, and all of a sudden it's a Pickett-Rattler combination a year from now. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they love what they did with Hurts.
No, I don't think so either. So, you know, you worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's time to worry about getting another body in
there. You're playing for today, and it's obvious that the Steelers are playing. They're not necessarily saying that, hey, we're all in on this season. They're always all in on that particular season. But
they're not going to spend every resource they possibly can and trade future first to try to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to happen, and nor should they with this roster.
But they've got a roster now that can compete.
Yeah, 100%. There are holes that worry me on March 15th.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, quarterback two, center.
Those things.
A couple little
filled,
things
though.
On defense. Yeah. You know, but right. I mean, they'll get filled up. And it's good draft for all those things.
Absolutely. Let's get to another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And, well, Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from a team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.steelers.com. And I wonder if they sold today any three jerseys.
Or
Patrick Queen announced he's wearing number six.
Oh, I thought he was wearing zero.
Six.
Six? Okay.
That's the number he wore in.
I don't know why I thought zero. I just saw a quick blurb that I thought he was going to wear
six.
Zero. Okay.
Yeah, six
is my favorite number. I was born on 6-6. So was Kenny Pickett, by the way. Adios. But no, there you go. So when they were
two guys who are no longer Steelers, right, Matt Williamson and Kenny Pickett.
Yep. So in 6-6 this year, mini camp, and there's birthday cake, I'll know it's for me, not both of us.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Okay, yeah. I bet you sell a lot of threes and a lot of sixes. Yep. I don't care what number he is, but what do you think of the Elliott signing?
I'm a fan. I brought it up, yeah. You know, when we were talking about safeties. You know, he's a physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's played free. He's played strong. He's obviously played in the AFC North, which I think matters.
Yeah, yeah. He was drafted by the Ravens, folks.
Yeah. So I like that. And again, I you know, he's 26.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not one of these guys that's 30 that you're,
no, he's
you're
not
renting for a year.
No, he could be. I think he's an upgrade over KZ. He's definitely an upgrade over Neal. Different player than KZ, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
He has size. He's a very good tackler. He has long arms. He's a sure tackler, and he's got a little bit of pop. You mentioned he started his career mostly at free, and last year with the Dolphins, he played about 2/3 of his snaps as a free safety.
Yeah,
I don't think that's what he's going to do here, though.
But he gives you that ability to be interchangeable.
Yeah, absolutely can. Minka comes down and plays man on a tight end or a robber. He certainly can. So
they've always talked about having the strong and free be interchangeable.
I know.
It's not always the case.
No, it has rarely been the
rarely
case.
Is it
I mean,
the case,
like, you didn't want Edmonds in the deep middle. You know, like, KZ can do both, but neither one of those guys are really a strong. You know, like, it's easy to say you have two frees, but Elliott is.
He's 6'1", 210.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can play. He's got the build and mental makeup to be a strong.
Yeah, yeah. And I know he has done it at free, but I don't want him stuck 3 seconds into the play having to cover a receiver on a post route either.
Yeah.
You know, he's a 4.58 guy at the combine. He plays around that speed, maybe a little faster, to be honest with you. He has good long strides, good body control. Long arms, like I said, helps. But I think he's more of an in-the-box guy, but much more versatile than Edmonds or some of the in-the-box guys of late.
Yeah.
So I think it works out well.
More versatile than Neal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, Neal was a converted linebacker.
Right, right. Yeah.
Who bounced back and forth between linebacker and safety.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a safety.
This guy's a safety. This guy's a safety. I think, and under the radar, they gave Killebrew a 2-year deal, too, right?
Yeah.
So I think the safety room's done.
And yeah.
Maybe your last pick, you throw them in there as a special team or project type, but I think they're done at safety.
Yeah, I mean, you can carry five there, especially if one of those guys plays in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a slot safety in the draft, you'd be like, okay, we can add that to the mix. And they'll play special teams.
Of course.
I
don't know what Elliott's special teams background is. I'm sure it was extensive early in his career, but I didn't look into that.
His rookie year, he missed his rookie year with a broken forearm.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back his second year in Baltimore, he's a starter.
Yeah, okay.
So he may not have played a lot of special teams.
I don't know his history on that. So this is a dumb question. What's Eric Rowe's situation?
He is a free agent right now.
So he's just not employed by anybody, right? I'd throw him back in the mix, too. You know, I thought he showed well enough here. I don't think anybody's going to give him a ton of money. I just said they're done at safety, but I liked what I saw from him. You know, I'd love to see him at camp.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a position that you don't have to break the bank at.
No.
And you can still get guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eric Rowe was available last year sitting on his couch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they always are. There's always a handful of them. Like, you and I were a little enamored with Justin Simmons, and he's a bright, shiny object, and
he's
a tremendous player.
But he's 30.
But he's 30, and he's going to want $15
million. And,
you know, I mean, that's a lot of money thrown into your safeties where you have the stud, get some nice compliments that are reliable. And, boy, they would have killed to have Elliott at the end of last year.
One thing that as soon as the Pickett deal got done, lots of people tweeting out about, and I think somebody like Charles Robinson or somebody, well, the Steelers should go get Justin Fields now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still wouldn't be necessarily interested in that, as I said previously.
Yeah. I'm more interested in than you are. I can already tell you that.
But a player that I would be interested in trading for would be Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, very. Very, very.
Yeah.
So I think there's a misnomer because all the people played fantasy, his last 2 months were not very productive.
After the coordinator change.
Right around there, a little before and then after that as well. I think a big focus, I think Buffalo has finally realized we need to draft guards, we need to be a big physical northeastern team, we need to throw the ball less, and we need to disperse it to James Cook and Kincaid. And the whole world was doubling Diggs, but that's been his whole life. I mean, he's a superstar. And his numbers dropped. I watched him. I've referred to several people that live watching wide receivers. Nobody that I trust thinks he's a declining player at all.
And see, so I would be much more willing to give up that pick, a mid-round pick, and the cap space to go get that guy.
Than Fields, 100%.
Than Fields.
100%. I mean, folks, I'm not trying to tease you, but just think, even Mike Williams, if they were to add Diggs, Diggs is still really good. He might still be a top five receiver.
He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year.
Even though he was
even quiet, with the second half being quiet.
Right, and they did make a coordinator change.
Imagine him opposite George Pickens.
Right.
With Pat Freiermuth in between them. You can't.
And a third-round pick coming in.
Oh, you want to double you want to double Stephon Diggs? Have at it, because George Pickens is going to feast down the sideline on you.
And you know you're going to have a physical running game.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know that part. But just think of the perception. I'm not trying to, dangle, the carrot in front of you guys listening. But if by the time Dale and I get back here Monday, they added Stephon Diggs for a mid-round pick, all of your aspects.
You might be in that instance a Super Bowl contender.
You might be. You might be
legitimately.
Because then the draft really
not just
sets
hoping
up well,
they if things go right, we can maybe make the Super Bowl. No, if you trade for Stephon Diggs, you are legitimately one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the league.
And Wilson gets better, not worse.
Yeah,
you know, quarterback play is still in question. And you go into the draft saying we're going to draft a center, might take a tackle. We'll probably take a day 2 corner and receiver, see where the chips land, and maybe Spencer Rattler shows up here or something like that. Who knows? You know, you got a lot of draft capital. I don't think I'm making stuff up, or I was talking about this. Like, I was a degenerate college creative writing student. If I took this story to my professors as a creative writer, no one would say that's too made up to believe.
No, I say that because earlier today, the Bill signed Curtis Samuel.
Yep.
And Diggs immediately tweeted out a picture of him waving goodbye.
Yeah.
On his social media. Something's happening there.
He's going somewhere, I think. I mean, I think this is as good a spot as any, to be very honest with you. And then this move, the Deontay move, would all add up. You know, like, again, I keep thinking there's a shoe to drop. That would be a monster shoe. That'd be a size.
A huge shoe.
Shaq shoe on your head. But I just don't think it's crazy talk.
No, I don't think it is either, and I think that Omar Khan has shown that he's willing to make these kind of moves, these aggressive kind of moves.
And Diggs is a very similar style to Deontay, a route runner.
But he's bigger.
I mean, he's just better, too.
And better.
I mean, he's a Hall of Fame type guy. Yeah, right. I mean, you may have had 2 future Hall of Famers to your offense if you do something like that.
Who still presumably have something left in the tank.
Yeah, Diggs has a lot left in the
tank. And I think, you know, one more thing here before we go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of these moves are being made. You heard that when the Steelers, when Cam Hayward wins Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and he's talking about he's 35, he's going to be 35 years old, and we owe it to Cam to go for this.
Yeah.
Like he deserves a chance to try, you know, a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
T.J. Watt deserves a Super Bowl.
I don't think the offseason approach has been, let's just get young for 2026.
No,
I don't think,
let's
set ourselves up.
Let's wait for Kenny Pickett to finally, get it.
Right, or let's try to get top 5 pick next year and get whoever the next guy is. I don't think that's the approach at all.
No, so that would be one move I would be all on board on.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Williams is my other one.
Because you don't have to, it doesn't cost you anything to go get him.
Right.
But he's not the player that Stephon Diggs
and that's
is
like
either.
Hakeem and Samson going down the sidelines. I just don't know about Williams' health, to be honest with you. Durability's been a problem.
Durability's been an issue. And again, apples to apples, if I had to pick one of the two, I'm taking Diggs.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's going to
cost me. Hand.
It's going to cost me a draft pick. I'm fine with that.
He's going to catch 100 balls.
Yeah.
He always does. You know, right. Yeah.
Let's get to a break. That's going to do it for hour number one of The Drive. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.